Today's commentary is provided by Mike Krueger of The Money Farm. Thank you, Mike, for taking time out of your busy schedule to provide the commentary. I would like to remind you, opinions expressed in today's commentary are those of the commentator and not MGX. Nothing should be construed as a trading recommendation by MGX, its employees, or its members, and is the sole opinion of the commentator. After the commentary is complete, I'll ask for questions from the media representatives. I'd also like to ask everyone on the call to please use the mute feature on your phone to not disrupt the call with background noise. With that, I'll turn it over to Mike.
Thank you, Rachel, and good morning, everybody. I'm actually sitting in Fargo waiting for this much-advertised blizzard that has yet to hit us yet. We're still bone dry, but I think we're still in for maybe 3 or 4 or 6 inches of snow. The thing about these reports coming out at 11 a.m., as you all know, is you don't have to look at the reports. You can look at the market's reaction and kind of give you a pretty good sense of what went on with the numbers. We're trading corn 25 cents off this morning's low and beans 30 cents off this morning's low, and wheat is 15 cents or more off this morning's low. I think coming into this report, as you've read and written, people were looking for an increase in the quarterly corn stocks, mostly under the assumption that the corn stocks number has been, you know, so far out of the range of estimates on several of the previous stocks reports, and it was smaller in January, that it would be, we'd get some of those bushels back this time, and we didn't. I think people were hoping for at least a larger soybean stocks number to kind of alleviate some of the tightness. We didn't get that. The wheat stocks number is slightly larger than expected, but really not enough to make much of a difference. And then, of course, the acreage numbers, a little bit more beans than expected, less corn than expected, and less particularly other spring wheat acres than were expected. So with that, I'll just start talking about wheat. The wheat quarterly stocks number came in at 1.060 billion bushels. If you look at the average trade guess, that's about 18 million bushels above that. That compares to a year ago stocks number of 1.235 billion bushels. So certainly less wheat on hand in this country than a year ago at this time. And I think if there's a surprise, and there really isn't, but there are a few people, and I was among those, who thought that maybe we'd see a slightly smaller wheat stocks number just because the January wheat quarterly stocks number reflected almost zero feed usage for wheat in the previous quarter. But nonetheless, they didn't do that. They left the number pretty much close to the range of estimates. In terms of acreage numbers on wheat, all U.S. wheat, probably about 200,000 acres less planted than expected. And remember, we got the so-called final, or I shouldn't say final, but preliminary winter wheat acreage plantings at the end of January. Other spring wheat acres, they're guessing 12.009 million acres. That is about 250,000 below what the average trade guess was. It is about 400,000 acres above last year's other spring. Now, other spring wheat isn't just hard red spring wheat. It includes some white spring planted out in the PNW, but the majority of it could be considered as hard red spring wheat. In terms of our region, in particular, durum acres came in at just shy of 1.8 million acres, just a freckle above the average trade guess, up about 400,000 or 500,000 acres from last year's level. And I know there are no futures markets on durum. I think that number is a little bit of a surprise on the large side. And I think the only reason for that, because the durum market has just been flat and almost a non-event, is that the crop insurance price point for durum is still a little bit above where it is for spring wheat, and that might have encouraged people to, in markets that have been weak, to plant a little bit more durum. So in the case of corn, and that's really, I think, we're probably the more bullish number in today's reports has been, the average trade guess for this morning's quarterly stocks report came in at 7.1 billion bushels. The actual number was 7.01 billion bushels, so almost 100 million bushels below expectations. I think that means that the USDA will have to trim the ending stocks number on corn again in their April 9th supply and demand numbers. So that's next Wednesday, I believe, they come out, and they'll incorporate these quarterly stocks numbers at least to some extent in their supply and demand and ending supply numbers. So if there was a positive number, more positive than people thought, it was the corn. And as I mentioned at the start, I think there were those who were expecting or thinking or hoping that, that they'd find that extra 200 or 300 million bushels of corn. I think that's why corn was trading down 13 to 15 cents just ahead of the report. And instead the report came in and just basically said that they agreed with the January numbers and came in with a little bit smaller number, and that corn consumption has just been better than expected. And that's been the case, of course, with exports and with ethanol, and this kind of confirms that on the feed side, better than expected as well. On the corn acreage side, and I hate to jump around, but it just makes more sense for me to do crop by crop, the average trade guess on corn acres, 92.7 million compared to 95.4 last year. This morning's USDA number came in at 91.7 million, so a million acres below trade expectations, and that's given the new crop December futures actually trading a penny or two higher than the May futures. They're up a dime right now at 497, and the high's been 498. Interestingly, and I haven't had much time to go through every state, but just took a quick look at corn plantings. Iowa farmers actually are going to plant a little bit more corn than last year, and the other guts of the Corn Belt states, Indiana, Ohio, and those neighborhoods, just slightly less. But it's the fringe states, North Dakota down about 900,000 acres, South Dakota down a couple hundred thousand acres, and that's where you would expect that we would see people, I think, slip away from corn, especially with the rally and or the strength in soybeans and the strength, recent strength in wheat markets as well. So it'll be interesting now. Of course, the we are not going to get any early corn planting in, so you'll find people starting to chatter about the fact that the extended outlook is still basically well below normal temperatures and wet for the northern half of the country, and how that might impact this balance between corn and bean acres going forward. In the case of soybeans, let's look at the stocks number. The trade expected to see a number of 989 million bushels. That was the average trade guess. The number came in at 992 million bushels, compares to a year ago at 998 million bushels. And I think, you know, as we all know, the old crop soybean situation is super tight. Exports have been stronger than expected, and despite all the talk about big cancellations from China, we haven't seen any yet, and we continue to load out big numbers every week, and we did again last week, a little bit bigger than people expected. So on the bearish side, people were saying, well, there was a hope that maybe USDA would increase the 2013 soybean crop to kind of add them or throw some stocks back into the equation. They didn't do that. It means that they do have kind of a problem coming to the April 9th supply and demand numbers. They're going to have to somehow balance this old crop soybean supply sheet. And obviously about the only way they can do it at this point is to increase the import forecast. And there's been all kinds of market talk recently about a significant number of vessels headed this way. My personal opinion is that talk is overstated. I think it's important to recognize that the U.S. Shipping capacity is designed to export, not import. It's an entirely different process to bring vessels into this country, especially in any significant volume, and unload them as opposed to load them. So that will be an interesting one to watch, but I think that's the only alternative USDA will have April 9th is to, again, increase the import forecast. So this morning, we just in the last few minutes traded above 1460, up 25 in May beans, because that tightness just doesn't want to go away. New crop beans, 81.5 million acres. That's 5 million acres above last year. It's a record number of soybean acres. The trade was looking, their average guess was 81.1. So at the moment we have November beans down 8.5. They're trading at 11.82. We've been down as much as 20 earlier in the day. And also, just when you look at the combined corn and bean acres, 171.9 million planted last year, according to the USDA. Their projection for the current year, 173.2, I'm talking just corn and soybeans, so up 1.3 million acres. Keep in mind also there's that kind of an acreage issue out there. Some people thought that we would show 3 to 4, maybe as much as 5 million more planted acres totally because of preventive plant issues and all those things last year. Well, that didn't show up in this report either. And remember, we don't get another acreage report until late June. So, kind of in a nutshell, that's what the market got in terms of in terms of numbers today. And, of course, obviously now the focus, once we have seen the acres, will turn to weather and the potential for yields going forward. And I think it's also important to keep in mind that in this whole production equation, really it's the yields that are going to make the big difference in the end of this thing. If you have a 5 or 10 bushel per acre swing in the corn yield, that's a lot more significant than a 1 or 2 million swing in acreage estimates, and same holds true with the soybean market as well. But big reversals in all of these markets from where we were trading just before 11 o'clock this morning to where we're trading at this point in time. Is there anything specifically I didn't cover now that people would like to ask questions about, or it's a fairly straightforward report, a little bit different than S&D's?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. So we have quite a few media people, so I'm just going to go through the list for questions. So, Kyle, do you have a question? Haley, do you have a question?
Yeah, please. Mike, you guys are waiting for the winter storm. We're sitting here in eastern Montana, and it has hit us. It's wet, snow, and I'm surprised we still have power. We really have folks that have been chomping at the bit to get out there and get the spring wheat seeded, and I think we're going to be having one of those late years again. How do you think that could play out?
Well, I think I agree that it looks like the heaviest snowfall from this storm is going to cover the northwestern two-thirds of North Dakota, really the guts of the wheat area, so that certainly is going to mean no early planting in those areas. In terms of these eastern areas, we've always been told by producers, and I do think that without looking at closely at the state-by-state just yet on wheat, but we were expecting an increase in wheat acres, and I think this recent rally since early March probably would have meant and might still mean that we have a greater increase in spring wheat plantings than this report than this report shows, because we've rallied well over a dollar a bushel since that time frame. I don't think that the late spring will affect the western areas, and you might be better in eastern Montana than I am, until we get probably even into early to mid-May. So we've got a lot of time for that to resolve itself. It will, however, if we get beyond April, I think it will make an impact in the far side of the Dakotas and western Minnesota. For some reason, our guys over here, our people over here, just are a little bit reluctant that they can't get wheat in the ground prior to May 1st. They might instead push those acres over to soybeans. And I think it may have an impact, depending on when we finally do get some warmer weather and some drier weather in the northern half of the country. It could have an impact, as I mentioned earlier, on whether we see even a little bit more drop in corn acreage estimates.
Did you have a follow-up question, Haley?
Yeah, just one follow-up question, and then I'll jump off. But as far as the winter kill concerns that we know are out there, how do you think that will play in the winter wheat side of it?
Are you talking about winter wheat up in this part of the world or down in the...
More southern plains.
Southern plains, you know, we've gotten really mixed results, and I don't think we've seen a huge amount of winter kill. More, we've seen some frost freeze damage and some plant dehydration. I think that that's going to be a little bit bigger factor than people are putting into this equation just yet, and I say that because they are still dry, and Friday going home, and there look to be a little bit better chance for rain this week. It's basically dry now, at least into late next week, when it seems to be the next chance for rain. So I think that that's going to have a little bit more negative impact on hard red winter wheat yields, and obviously down there they can't come back with spring wheat. They may come back with sorghum or some of those areas. So, yeah, I think when all is said and done, the hardwood winter wheat crop's going to be a little bit smaller than we're kind of looking at today.
Thank you.
Yep.
John, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Given the fact that here in Illinois, Indiana, southern Iowa, and that we're seeing, a delayed spring, what do you see as far as, switch to soybeans later on in the spring here?
Well, I think it's going to have to get, if we were May 1st and we had the weather outlook, I'd be a lot more concerned about seeing a greater reduction in corn acres in your neighborhood as they shift over probably to more beans. I don't know how that will impact things at this point in time. I think a residual benefit of this delayed spring might be that there's been all kinds of concerns and worries, especially this far north and west, about fertilizer availability, for particularly for corn, because of all, you know, the late openings of the rivers and the barge traffic and the major railroad issues up here. You know, this may, the lack of an early planting season may actually benefit the fertilizer outlook, and that may tend to keep a few more acres of corn. So I think it's a little bit early yet to say we're going to see people start moving away from corn in your neighborhood. Now, I don't know at what point they might consider shifting to shorter season varieties, which, you know, carry the potential for slightly less yield, but I don't think we're there yet either.
Do you have a follow-up question, John?
No.
Okay. Randy, do you have a question?
Yeah, Mike, talk about end of the quarter, end of the month. Does that have any impact on these prices this morning, too?
Well, I think it might a little bit. It's always hard to figure out what they're doing end of the quarter, end of the month. Remember that the funds are pretty significant longs in corn going into this report, to not so big in beans, and they'd switched from being record short positions in wheat 4 to 6 weeks ago to being slightly on the long side this morning. But we've got a lot of strength in financial markets as well, Randy. So it's just hard to tell whether any of this rebound has to do with the end of the month, end of the quarter.
All right. One follow-up quickly. How about transport? You mentioned transportation issues. Any of that impacting our ending stocks?
Well, I don't think so yet. I think the biggest impact that we've seen on the transportation issues, remember the transportation problems are more significantly up in the northern plains than they are even across the guts of the Corn Belt, where we have shuttle freight that traded 3 weeks ago as high as $5,000 and $6,000, $7,000 over tariff, which is a buck and a half to two bushel premium. We've seen that freight level off probably in the short term of $2,000 to $3,000, so it's still super high. I think that's had the high freight costs have reduced basis levels for corn and beans. But on the other hand, we've also seen, you know, this wheat market, particularly flour millers, didn't have enough wheat on hand, got caught short on inventories because they couldn't get what they'd purchased. So we've had huge gyrations, big spikes in wheat basis for people who had freight on hand. I think where it's affected more than anything, though, is the USDA, and I think rightfully so, 2 and 3 and 4 months ago, had projected that because the Canadians had a record all-time wheat crop, and I mean a record by 15% or at least from the previous record, that they have steadily increased their estimate of wheat imports, mostly spring wheat, into this country, and their logistics have been so bad that that just isn't going to happen. And I think in the end that means that hard red spring wheat supplies are going to tighten up just because we don't have the Canadian imports yet. Unfortunately, you know, those stocks aren't going away. So at some point in time, when their traffic issues get resolved, 6, 8, 10 months away, I mean, that may be an issue, but it's not going to be for the next 3, 4, 5 months the way it looks today.
Andrea, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi. I noticed that North Dakota soybeans is 5.65 million acres. Can you talk a little bit about that number and the significance of that for our overall supplies of soybeans as we enter the 2014 marketing year?
You know, my feeling all along was that we were going to plant fewer acres of corn up here, and probably significantly so, and that the bulk of those corn acres were going to go to beans, and looks to me that's exactly what's happening. And I think the difference up here, why we've seen a much greater reduction than maybe in some of those areas in the guts of the Corn Belt, is I think out here people have tended to say we're going to manage low prices by managing input costs, and to do that rather than spend $200 or $250 to put an acre to put a corn crop in, we're going to spend $100 to $125 to put either a wheat or a soybean crop in. So yeah, it means that supplies, assuming average yields up here of soybeans, are going to be big next fall during harvest. And certainly since we're the remotest location from export facilities and most crush facilities, it does imply that we're probably going to have a weaker basis than might be typically the case going into the next marketing year.
Are there any members of the media that I may have missed that have a question for Mike?
Hi, this is Michelle Rook with WNAX. Mike, I was wondering, we're kind of working on a reversal now in the corn here today. If we close above $5 in either May or December, how big of a technical signal will that be for the funds? Will they continue to push long, and how much higher could we go?
You know, I'm not necessarily a technician, but I think yeah, it would be a huge reversal, and certainly if we close above $5 in either of those contracts you talked about, I think that coupled with just the fact that corn stocks were smaller, corn acres were smaller, you got a late planting season coming. I certainly don't see anything there that's going to discourage funds and speculators from wanting to add to their corn longs.
Okay.
So I think that's a good point.
I may have missed it, and you may have said it earlier because I had to step off to be on the air, but the quarterly stocks number for corn coming in more bullish than expected, was that an increase in ethanol exports or feed or a combination of thereof?
Well, I would suspect that, you know, the export number and the ethanol numbers are pretty solid typically, and I haven't gone through and looked at, you know, all those parts of it. My assumption is that feed consumption was stronger than anticipated, and the fact that we had a slight increase over expectations in wheat supplies and that they didn't adjust for what some people thought was too big a quarterly wheat stocks number in January, which reflected little or no wheat feeding in Ocnovdis, or Sepocnov, I mean. I think the bulk of that had to come out of the feed equation.
Thank you to Mike for providing today's commentary. Audio of this call will be available on our website later this afternoon. Additionally, MGX offers market commentary in both audio and text on the MGX website. Have a great day, everyone.